sound more natural if it came from one of my boys. I usually call them Lloyd and Carol. And Kara here from MB Mission. And Lloyd and Carol are going to come up. Come on up. I'm going to share. I really appreciate Lloyd and Carol, their passion to have people impacted, the amount of counseling and prayer ministry they do, walking with people, helping people take the next step of faith so they can in turn live it out and be multiplied into other lives and other people and have greater impact. So, I really appreciate them, and I just want to pray for you as you share with us. Heavenly Father, we again bow before you. This is an appropriate posture. You are Lord. You are amazing. You are God. You are gracious. And you are glorious. And would you help us here? Here. We've had a wake. Some of us were at awaking our soul, awaking our community, and some of us pushed out into the community. Many of us here are trying to engage fellow students and co-workers, and we pray for more of that. We pray for impact. We pray that as we are faithful to water and plant, you would be faithful and bring fruit. We know you're faithful. Help us walk in that journey. And now this morning, we want to get a picture of awakened, what an awakened world would look like, and some of the glimpses of what you're doing around the globe. Help us hear you. Help us respond in faith. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Right on. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Awesome. Yeah. So I think I want to just start off by saying thank you. Thank you as a congregation for making a difference in many ways. Thank you for your prayers, especially prayers for, we're going to talk about waking our world today. So prayers for the least reached countries of the world. Thank you for your provision. I think you guys just celebrated your 90 years, and I know Coaldale's been just a supporter of mission from the beginning. And thank you for the stories we even heard this morning and over awake, just how you've been responding to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. So in that, I want to speak out Matthew 5:14-16. It's from the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. So just receive these words. I'm going to read it twice, once in the NIV and then once in the Message format. And I'd love you to just receive them as Jesus spoke to his disciples. Allow it to be, you are the disciples. So just receive these words from Jesus. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Or here's another way to put it. You are here to be light. You're here to bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I just love that last phrase. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God. So this weekend, if you've heard, there was this Awake kind of mini missions conference that has happened in Coaldale here and Lethbridge. And then people even went yesterday afternoon to Pincher Creek and did a survey there to just help out that community plant a church or to reboot a church. And so how it started off was on Friday. Whoa, Lloyd, back up. There we go. Friday night, we start with Awake My Soul, just a time to remind us, hey, who's our first love? Let's go back to that first love in Jesus. And we were even challenged that night is, have you ever let those words come off of your lip? I love you, Jesus. And it was a revolutionary time even, just to coming back to the basics of who we are as Christians. And then yesterday had a great opportunity to do lots of resourcing on kind of gospel clarity. Like, what is the gospel? How do we share it in a simple way? And lots of workshops that equip people. And then we were able to go out and do different things, like a prayer walk in two communities, a carnival, right? Or block party, not carnival, block party right here. And then in Pincher Creek, a survey of going out into the community and gathering information about the community to hand off to the church planters there. Just a great thing. So Jesus is our first love. Jesus calls us to be lights. We shine for him in the world, which is just a crazy plan to think that we are the ones to shine for God. God be gracious to us. And we've received some resourcing in this. We took opportunity to go out. And so now I would say that those of you that were at the block party, if you take those words in Matthew and just twist them a little, say, by opening up to others this weekend at a block party, we pray that your neighbors are now prompted to open up to God because they're being prompted to open up to you. So there's a responsibility there, there's opportunity there, and there's hope there. So I want to say thank you. And local mission and outreach is vital. And so Carol and I represent an international mission agency, but I want to say it really strongly, and that is, don't forget about the global church. We're in a day and age right now where local mission outreach is really on our hearts, and it needs to be. That's something from the Holy Spirit. But as we move into our communities, we cannot forget about least reached areas, because least reached areas are least reached for a reason. And least reached simply means a community that has inadequate resources to actually share the gospel with itself, share the gospel, or even disciple one another. So they're looking for some help. So don't, and our missionaries often tell us, don't neglect the global church. So what we want to do today is just share some stories from the global church. And it's really important because I mean, our global partners, and I'll share this again, is as we engage mission at home, those stories get around the globe. And it's very inspiring to our global church to hear. Like when they find out that there was a block party in Coaldale, I know it's hard to believe, but when our people in Central Asia and in Thailand find out that you did a block party, they will celebrate. They really will. Because we might not feel that connected sometimes here, but they feel very connected. Like, yeah, they're doing a block party. And they kind of take things to a whole nother level in Thailand. It's like, we're going to pray for 24 hours for Coaldale. Yeah, they do stuff like that. Yeah. A little different here, but that's okay. We're working on it. So I know our Abbotsford office, they've done it for 4 or 5 years now, where they do an all-day, all-night prayer conference, which is really neat, where they actually do the 24. So we're trying to learn to be more like our global partners. So anyways, I want to share a couple of stories with you, and Carol's going to start here.
So I just had an opportunity to meet the Pauls again, and I have had the privilege of working with their granddaughter, Julia Pauls, for the last number of years, and she is an absolute inspiration to me. She was just on trek this last year in Turkey, and She was there with two other girls, so the three of them were in the eastern part of Turkey in a city where there are about three other Christians besides our missionaries there. It's a hard place. Spiritually, it's a tough place to be in. The spirit of offense, the spirit of mistrust, the spirit of depression really impacts our workers there. But these three girls, they really prayed through those things and learned to come together as a team, to love each other, and just the impact of the way that they have been able to reach out to that city has been just an inspiration to our missionaries that are there, and those stories are leaking out around the world, how over the course of about 5 months, they have built a bit of a mini church. And so the Spirit of God was on these three girls. And there are Muslim women that were just attracted to them and wanted relationship with them, pursued them. And even though these girls are back here in Canada, they're in constant daily communication with these girls. And there's a boldness that's rising up within our Trek girls. They're like, we want these girls to know Christ. We want this church to thrive. We don't want it to die. We don't want these relationships to die just because we have left. I know for Julia, it's on her heart that she wants to go back. And so I want to say thank you for praying. Thank you for supporting, because what you are doing here in this church and praying for our missionaries around the world is helping to build the church in Turkey. It's helping to build the church in Thailand. And I'm always inspired when I think about the history of how the church has been expanding in Thailand. Dave and Louise Sinclair Peters and Ricky and Karen Sanchez went out in the year 2000. So it's been a while now, 16 years. They've been there serving. When they first arrived, they had really young children, and so life was a little overwhelming for them. They were learning the language, learning the culture, and parenting, and being a family, and so, which is common in that area, they hired house help. So these people just helped do their cooking and their cleaning. They moved into their families. They became significant friends of these families. They shared the gospel with them. They lived out that Matthew 5 passage of being salt and light. They kept open house with these women by simply being Christians and modeling life after the heart of God and expressing their need for Jesus in their everyday, ordinary lives. These women experienced the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They accepted Christ, and in that, their hearts were filled with love and joy and a newfound freedom. And from that came this just burning desire to see their families come to know Christ in that same kind of way. So they started sharing the love of God, Jesus' sacrifice, with their families. And soon those families came to know Christ. They abandoned the Thai Buddhism and they embraced Jesus. These simple women were just house help. They started the first churches in Thailand. And it's only just grown since then. Today, Pastor Nat is the apostolic leader of a network of churches she has planted. She is leading the church planting movement in Thailand. She started as the house help. And today, God has raised her up. Mama Gunnigan is the head administrator of the HIV orphanage, Abundant Life Home, for kids with HIV/AIDS. Dynamic, dynamic women of God. They responded to the call. They laid down their lives because they knew that their country, their people, their family needed to learn about the love of Christ. And out of that passion for their community, incredible things are happening. They lived out Matthew 5, 14 and 16. So who in our family or social circles is God prompting us to be generous with our lives? Imagine these people choosing Jesus to be Lord of their gifts, passions, and abilities. Pray with that vision in mind. Imagine the impact on their community. Is there somebody that you're in relationship with that will start a new church planting movement in Alberta? Who could it be? Maybe it's your house help. Maybe it's, I don't know, person you buy your groceries from. It could be anybody. We want to be able to be obedient and share the love of Christ with everyone around us with that same passion that Pastor Nat and Gunnigan have done in Thailand. For my next story, I just want to begin by just saying thank you to all of you who have pictures of our missionaries on your fridge and that pray for our missionaries on a regular basis. God is answering those prayers, and often you never have the opportunity to actually hear how those prayers are being answered. But today I want to say thank you. You, by keeping those pictures on your fridge and praying for our missionaries regular, you are part of something incredible. The church around the globe is being built. People are coming to know Christ, and we cannot do it without people that are committed to praying for our missionaries and praying for these new church plants. A few years ago, some of our missionaries in Central Asia told us just this dynamic story about the power of prayer. A few years ago, some of our missionaries, the missionary Sarah, just for her protection, but her and her husband were showing another couple just around the area in which they were serving, and they stopped at a nunnery. They'd been to this nunnery a few times before, and a number of groups had stopped at this nunnery in the past, and they were really closed to the gospel. They were closed to outsiders. But they were brought these people here just to give them a taste of what their ministry was and what it looked like. Outside the nunnery, there were a number of people just outside spinning their prayer wheels.
What's a prayer wheel? So just imagine with me a round bucket with an axle through it, and they have all this kind of writing on it, and they will spin them to kind of gain favor, and so these things will spin, and then kind of momentum keeps them going, but they're all over the place.
So it's kind of like they spin the prayer wheels to generate merit for the next rebirth. So the more they spin the prayer wheel, the more merit they gain for their next life. And as Sarah approached the nunnery, she noticed one of the nuns, an elderly woman, sitting just resting, and the nun motioned for Sarah to come to her. And so this was quite unusual. So Sarah approached motioned her that she couldn't hear, and asked her to pray for her in just kind of saying sign language and broken English. And this really caught Sarah's attention, because her and her husband had just really been praying over the last while that God would reveal his love and his mercy through acts of healing. So Sarah reached out her hands. She laid her hands on the ears of this nun, and she just prayed for healing. And in just a few moments, this nun looked up, and she started running around, spinning the prayer wheels. And then she raced back to Sarah, and she asked her, "Who was it? Who was it? What God was it that you prayed to?" And so she learned how to say the name Jesus. And she just started saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She was making such a commotion that all the other elderly people in the area just heard her story. And they came to Sarah and their friends, and they just asked them to pray for them, to pray for healing for them. They were there for 5 hours. They prayed for the lame to walk, for the blind to see. They saw miracle after miracle. The Spirit of God descended upon that nunnery that day. And they walked away full of faith, full of just an amazement of the Spirit of God and how he can reach out in just incredible love to a group of people. So later, when Sarah and her husband told other workers about this event, what had happened at the nunnery, one of the co-workers became curious, and as they described the older nun, he brought out a picture of an older woman and said, "Is this the woman that initially asked for prayer?" And they said yes. And I love this part of the story. This one missionary had this picture sent to churches all over the world and had been asking them to pray for this nun. So I love how God calls the body of Christ, the global body of Christ, to pray, to intercede on behalf of communities around the world. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for participating, for laying a foundation of what God wants to do in these communities that are far off, high in the mountains of China, or off in just different areas of Asia. So I just want to say, we have a responsibility to come together as bodies of Christ, whether we're here in Coaldale or we're in Thailand or Africa or wherever it is. We need to pray for one another. And just as we do that, we will see the Spirit of God move, sweeping across our countries and around the globe. So this morning, God is speaking to every one of us. He's inviting us to join Him in praying for the nations. Who is your deaf nun? What have you been invited to pray about? Who have you been invited to support? Is there a people group on your heart, an injustice you desire to see God move and bring transformation? God answers prayer, and revival is preceded by much prayer.
Yeah, and if you have somebody, like, who is your deaf nun? Is there somebody that you've been thinking, I should be praying for that person? Then, hey, take this as a reminder. I should pray for that person. Yeah. God calls us to be salt and light, equips us, calls us, sends us out to shine. And when I think of the least reached communities, it's kind of hard. There's a big jump. How do we go from Coaldale to some of these crazy stories, right? Don't you love it when missionaries come to your church and tell you these stories? That doesn't happen in Coaldale. But it can. It can. least reached areas. Like I said, they're called least reached for a reason. And that is, often governments are persecuting people, or the faith traditions of the area are persecuting people. And it's really hard. It's really hard places. And it's hard on our workers, because we have one another. We've got books and Amazon to get Bible stuff from, and people and sermons and all this kind of supports. But in a least reached area, it's pretty tough. And so our workers are reminding us a lot that, you know what, yes, we need donations, and yes, we need you to pray. But another big piece is we need to be in relationship. We need to just, like, be community. And one of the things we've really been talking about even this morning in Adult Sunday School is how one of the blessings of your town, Coaldale, is that people are friendly. They say hi on the streets. There's a sense of community. People come out to block parties. They want block parties. And that seed that you have, I think, can be planted around the world. How can we just get creative and start reaching out to those that we know around the world? Because they need relationship. Our workers are looking for community. So I'll say it again. I just want to encourage us to continue to shine at home, because when things go well here in our church, the stories do get out around the world, and it's very encouraging. Just like if Carol tells you a crazy story, some of you is like, hey, some of you are like, yeah, that's crazy. But some of you are like, that's really good. You know, like, it inspires us too, right? It goes both ways. And so shining at home actually helps our international churches as those stories leak out. Focus our prayers on our global workers. If you don't have somebody on your fridge, it don't have to be your fridge, but, you know, if you don't have somebody that you're praying for or posting on your computer screen or whatever, find somebody and just focus in on someone to pray for. And the other one is engage relationship. It's really important. If you guys haven't gone on a trip somewhere to visit a long-term worker in a while, I'd encourage you to do it. And you don't have to go build a house, okay? Can I just say, you don't have to go build houses. You can actually go visit an international worker and do exactly what you would have them do here. Like, the last time I invited a worker here, I had them come to my house, and I told them to rip off all my shingles and put the shingles on and do my gutters and fix my toilets. No, I'm joking. They came, and I said, what do you want to do? Let's have dinner together. Let's talk. Let's share some stories. Let's have some coffee. And let's pray. And I know it sounds crazy to spend $2,000 to go visit someone to go have coffee with them, but you have no idea what that would mean to our international workers, to just go do some visiting, praying, doing a Bible study together and sharing. These are really key things that actually, it's like, well, what's that going to do? It's a waste of money. No! It will actually help churches get planted, for people to be inspired, to be strengthened, to go and do what God's called them to do, because they need friends and relationship and community. So I'm just putting a push out there. We've got these Canadian passports. They're awesome. They're like gold. It's an encouragement. Put a team together and go visit somebody. Okay, quit preaching, Lloyd. Here we go. Really quick, just to close off, three words that we three words we're starting to use in our intercession team is source, synergy, and movement. And that is, as we pray, always pray out of the source, God. Just let's go to God and ask what's up. Synergy means do it together with groups of people. Synergetic community. We've always talked about community. Pray in groups and then movement. If we are tapping into God, listening, doing it together in community, He's going to actually inspire us to do something like, hey, let's run a block party. And that's the movement piece. God always is on the move. Our God is on mission. Let's join Him on mission. So what is God inviting you? What's God inviting me to? So with that, I just want to close by reading that last line of the scripture one more time, and then we'll pray. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you for your Sermon on the Mount, how you just sat your disciples down and gave them the basics. And one of the basics was, open up your house, open up your life, be generous with people. God, I thank you for that. Thank you for the generosity of this church, these people, this town. God, we thank you for that heritage, the legacy. We ask that you continue to build that, build upon it for the next generation as well. And Lord, continue to connect us with those in areas that don't have this type of community, the least reached areas of the world. Amen.